Our final case this morning is case number 59557, Attorney General versus Gypsum Resources. Brian Stockton for the appellant, Edward Gary Berg for the respondent. Mr. Stockton, Ms. Berg, you ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor.
Mr. Stockton, on behalf of the appellant.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, I'm Brian Stockton, Senior Deputy Attorney General, representing Attorney General Catherine Cortez Masto in her official capacity in this suit. And I'd like to start out that when you read the descriptions of the Red Rock Canyon area, most of them start off and say something like, if your overstimulated mind needs a break from the glitz and glamour of Las Vegas, the Red Rock Canyon provides a balm to the soul. And when you get up into the Red Rock Canyon, as you drive up into the park, you can get out of your car and look around, and you can't see or hear anything that lets you know that the greater metropolitan Las Vegas area is within about 5 miles of where you are. And those are the values that the legislature had in mind when they adopted this legislation to protect the character of the area around the park. And I would submit that all the questions certified by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals could be answered by the quotation from List versus Douglas County that you put in the Clean Water Coalition case, where you say that the preservation of the region of the Lake Tahoe Basin as a natural resource for the enjoyment of all people, which is what we're arguing here, sets it apart from the embrace of the commands of Nevada Constitution, Article 4, Sections 20 and 21.
You concede at this point that it is local or special legislation and that that particular exception would apply.
To the extent that the Clean Water Coalition had a specific holding that said a law is local if it operates over a particular locality instead of over the whole territory of the state, we concede that that's the current law. We don't concede that that should be the law. Because in the List case, you talked about the fact that these natural resources are set apart for the enjoyment of all people. And that's the exact same values that the legislature asserted it was trying to protect in the Red Rock Canyon area. And I would argue that, you know, in the Clean Water Coalition, you talked about the level of deference that this court gives to the legislature in these matters. And there's always the presumption that any law that the legislature passes is constitutional. And so the level of findings the legislature needs to make is what you talked about in the Clean Water Coalition being the level of deference that you'll give to the Nevada legislature. And I would assert that the deference should be the highest to the legislature when we're talking about a unique natural resource like the Red Rock Canyon area.
But when you're discussing Clark County's zoning abilities, you're directly affecting their zoning powers.
That's true, Your Honor. But as we asserted in the briefs, the source of those powers is the legislature, right? In Chapter 278, the legislature established a system of zoning laws throughout the state. And since that power came from the legislature, rather directly from the Constitution to Clark County, the legislature should have, you know, the power to modify and affect that zoning power that the counties were given from the legislature.
Do you need to distinguish Town of Pahrump versus Nye County in that particular case? Or do you see that not as an issue?
I see that as easily distinguishable, because what you're talking about in the Town of Pahrump case was the legislature established a building department in Pahrump so that the developers in the area wouldn't have to drive all the way to the county seat of Tonopah to get their building license. And, you know, where you get your building license is an everyday practical occurrence for county government. But the actual protection of a natural resource is much different than that. And in the Pahrump case, I think this court put a lot of emphasis on the fact that Pahrump could do the same thing by incorporating. And then they put their own building department in Pahrump. And what happens is then the town of Pahrump has to pay for it. So in essence, you're talking about money again. You know, money is a fungible instrument. You know, $1 is the same value as any other dollar. In the Clean Water Coalition, you were talking about, you know, admittedly a lot of dollars, but again, you're talking about money, which is, again, a fungible good. And here, what I'm arguing is because the Red Rock Canyon is this unique natural resource that the people of Las Vegas, through their legislature, have decided should be protected in this way. And so I hope that answers your question. I kind of got on a roll there. But
yes.
But to distinguish the Younger case, and I thought I might make this point, the Younger case was the California companion case to the List versus Douglas County. And there you had five different jurisdictions, basically, that had zoning authority, two California counties and three Nevada counties. And so in that case, a big part of the case was obviously the interjurisdictional nature of it. And so there were two factors in the List versus Douglas County. One was the interjurisdictional nature of protecting Lake Tahoe, but the second was the natural resource exception. And Judge Jones, you know, declared that the interjurisdictional nature was what really supported the List versus Douglas County case. And we would assert that the natural resource is also an important component of that. And in this case, we're asking you to find that the natural resource exception on its own can stand to protect this area. And I would say on the zoning authority...
Is there really a natural resource exception to the contested articles of the Nevada Constitution? There's no such reference in the Constitution itself.
Well, in the Douglas County case, this court held that there was a natural resource exception that the legislature could, you know, protect the Lake Tahoe for the enjoyment of all people. And the constitutional provision you relied on is Article 9, Section 3, which allows the state to spend money it allows it to spend money, more money than it has, to protect natural resources. And so that was the constitutional provision that this court relied on in List versus Douglas County.
The constitutional authority to spend funds to protect natural resources is quite a different subject than a specific provision in the Constitution that deals with an abrogation or a prohibition against the adoption of special laws.
Agreed.
The history in this case shows that the proponent of the legislation intended not only to bar the existing planning commission, but any future planning commission from ever adjusting this. Is that right?
That's true. That's
true. Sounds like a pretty special law to me. Why couldn't that law have been extended to other planning commissions in the state?
The reason is just because it wouldn't make sense to do that. It's impractical. The legislature needs to address the values of that particular resource when they're adopting legislation to protect that resource. You know, Judge Jones in the underlying district court opinion ruled that, well, you should just pass a law that no changes of zoning within 5 miles of any national park or any federal property. But that doesn't fit the needs of each individual area. And I'll note the legislature, as you might have noticed in the Ninth Circuit certification order, they cite to the Spring Mountain Act, which is, you know, functionally identical to this one. And Spring Mountain is out near Mount Charleston there. And so the legislature, in looking at these areas, is tailoring the legislation to the values to be protected. And it's our position, as I've already stated, that when the legislature is looking at specific values and protecting those values, then that finding that they make in regard to protecting those values should be entitled to the highest deference from this court. It's our position that the List versus Douglas County case established a natural resource exception based on the Constitution, and that language is in there. As far as the local and special laws are only forbidden as they affect, you know, county business. And it's our position that the zoning authority came from the legislature, and therefore zoning is state business. And so where the legislature took back a portion of the power is functionally indistinguishable from what happened in the City of Reno versus Washoe County case, where Reno had its own airport. The legislature found that this had become a regional airport and it was too big for just Reno to handle, and so they created the Washoe County Airport Authority. And this court held that because the state had created, you know, that the The municipal corporation was merely a political subdivision of the state, that the state had plenary power over the city of Reno. In the same way, the legislature in 278 gave the zoning power to Clark County, and in this case, took back a portion of that power. And so we'd also argue that that applies to the Section 25, Article 4, Section 25 arguments of the district court that this changed the uniform system of county government. The legislature needs some flexibility to be able to deal with unique situations that come up. Now, the one last exception I'd like to talk about is the emergency exception. And that's been implied in some emergencies where the Lyon County courthouse burned down, where Washoe County's hospital was falling apart. And in this case, I'd ask the court not to use the hindsight of the last few years where development has slowed, because at the time the legislature enacted this legislation, Las Vegas had been this urban area had been the fastest growing area in the country for years and years and years. And development was just proceeding at a scorching pace. And the legislature felt that if they didn't act at this time to protect this resource, it would be gone forever. And you know, you've got this very rural area, and the current proposals, if you read the paper, would put a development about the size of Boulder City right on the outskirts of the Red Rock Canyon. And so it's our position that that the legislature was justified in acting when it did to ensure that this natural resource is protected. And the legislative findings, real quickly, under equal protection analysis, you know, you just have to be rationally related to a legitimate state interest. And Judge Jones, the district court, found that protecting the Red Rock area is a legitimate state interest. And so the rational basis is found in the preamble, where the legislature made its findings that if we put development of this scale right on the outskirts of the Red Rock Canyon, you'll destroy those values that it was preserved for. And with that, I'd like to reserve my remaining time.
You have about three minutes and 15 seconds left.
Thank you.
Berg, on behalf of the respondent, Gibson Resources.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Edward Berg, representing respondent Gibson Resources. As the court made clear last term in Clean Water Coalition, the Constitution is supreme. The Constitution places limitations on the type of legislation that the state can adopt. And three of those limitations are involved in this case, sections 20, 21, and 25 of Article 4. I'd like to start with section 25, which relates to the question that was posed about the Town of Pahrump case. I actually think that the section 25 argument is the easiest way to uphold the finding of unconstitutionality in this case, because section 25 deals with a uniform system of government. And in Town of Pahrump, this court held that planning and zoning are exactly what Section 25 was designed to regulate. In that case, the legislature passed a law taking certain zoning powers in a limited geographical area, the Town of Pahrump, away from Nye County and transferred them to the Town of Pahrump. Functionally, it's no different than what happened in this case. Although the zoning power wasn't transferred anywhere, the zoning power in the defined adjacent lands in SB 358 were taken away from Clark County. That means that every other county in the state, as to unincorporated areas, has plenary zoning power. They can decide what the zone should be. They can decide how to amend the zoning classifications if that's appropriate. But when this law was passed in 2003, that was the first time that the state came down and gave a directive to a county saying, you cannot change the zoning on this particular land. And it's actually a more egregious violation than in the Town of Pahrump case, because in Pahrump, the zoning power was actually transferred someplace else. In this case, from on high, the state has told Clark County, you can never upzone the property, you can never increase the residential density, and you can never create new non-residential zones or increase the size of residential zones. So under Town of Pahrump and Section 25, the federal district court's ruling was correct and should be upheld. Sections 20 and 21 operate in tandem. As the court found last term in Clean Water Coalition and in several earlier cases, The issue is, first, is there a special or local law? That's been conceded here, that we do have special or local legislation. Under Section 20, if the special or local law fits within any of the categories there, it is found unconstitutional. And you only need to get to Section 21 if it doesn't fall within the enumerated categories of Section 20, and then make the analysis of whether or not a general law could be made applicable. In this case, again, as in Town of Pahrump and Clean Water Coalition, we have a Section 20 violation because we have the special and local law that regulates county business. County business, in this case, a regulation has been defined as setting down a rule, a directive. That's exactly what the state did in this case. It directed Clark County to never change the zoning on this property. It involved county business, and it involved a rule set down to regulate how the county could operate in this area. So under Section 20, the law was appropriately found unconstitutional because it was a special or local law operating only in Clark County, and it was a law that directed the county in a way that prevented the county from making its zoning decisions in the way it felt would ever feel was most appropriate.
What about his argument that the legislature granted the county zoning authority, therefore it's just taken back a little bit, but it granted in the first place?
I think the problem with that argument is there's no limit to it. If you simply say that if the state gives powers and the state can take away those powers, then what you're really saying is the constitutional limitations don't have any teeth to them, because the upshot would be that the state can take away powers and therefore avoid a constitutional violation whenever the state decides it's a good thing to do. And that would violate the idea that the Constitution is supreme, because it means that actually the legislature is supreme, and the legislature can decide, we gave this power, in this circumstance, we can take away a little or a lot. It would be impossible to set up a standard where the state can make the decision that because it is the source of zoning power, and to say that it could take away zoning power, if that were the law, then Town of Pahrump could not have been decided the way it was decided, because the state had set up the zoning power and they could take away a little zoning power from the county of Nye. The List case has been argued heavily here. And I think it's important that decision be recognized as involving a regional resource, a resource that no one political entity could effectively regulate. Two states, there was a interstate compact, five counties in those two states, and the problem that was being addressed in that situation was the inability of any one of those entities by themselves to effectively regulate the natural resource involved. Both the Younger case and the List case repeatedly talked about the regional aspect of the zoning problem there and the inability of any one of those entities to deal with those problems effectively. So obviously this case doesn't involve an interstate compact. This case does not involve a natural resource that cannot be effectively regulated by Clark County. The Red Rock Canyon National Conservation Area is entirely within Clark County. The adjacent lands that are covered by this act are entirely within Clark County. So there isn't that problem that arose in List, where there was an inability of any one entity to effectively regulate it. The county can regulate it in this case. And there was no, in List, the state never told TRPA, the Tahoe Regional Planning Authority, how it should or shouldn't zone any particular property. It approved the bi-state compact, which was charged with setting up a regional plan, and that regional plan would apply to that unique area. The issues that led this court in List to say that those particular factors set it apart from the embrace of sections 20 and 21 don't apply here. The very next sentence in List, the court reaffirmed the idea that what set it apart was the fact that there were regional resource issues that aren't present in this case. And there wasn't a Section 25 challenge in the List case. That was only sections 20 and 21. Section 21, the court only needs to get to Section 21 if it finds that the special or local law conceded in this case does not fall within one of the enumerated categories of Section 20. So if the court finds, as the district federal district court found, that this is a local or special law that regulates county business, it need not even reach Section 21. But if the court doesn't find that, then it goes on to the Section 21 analysis. It's a special or local law, or what Section 21 proscribes is special or local laws where a general law can be made applicable. And I think that that's a phrase that has, frankly, troubled the court over the many years of jurisdiction. There are cases in which, for example, we've heard about the emergency exception. I don't think that the emergency exception is really an exception, getting back to the issue that was raised. I don't see how the legislature can adopt exceptions to a constitutional proscription. It's not an exception. It's just that in the emergency situations, what the courts really were analyzing was, can a general law be made applicable? Does the general law of switching county seats, can it be made applicable to the situation where the courthouse burns down and we need to do something quickly without a vote of the people or without going through the general law that would otherwise be applicable? So I don't think there's an emergency exception, and I don't think that there's a natural resource exception either. Bouncing back to List for a moment, the constitutional prescriptions are there, and the legislature can't simply say, for good reasons, for the protection of natural resources, we are going to place an exception on these two sections of the Nevada Constitution. If the legislature could do that, then the Constitution would not be the supreme law of the land. It would be subject to exception making by the legislature. So lastly, in the Section 21, could a general law be made applicable in this situation? As the district court found, yes, it could. The concerns in this case about development encroaching on federally protected areas certainly arise in other counties. As the court said in Clean Water Coalition, quoting from the Indiana case, the court in Clean Water noted that the constitutional provisions here really arose, were borrowed from the Indiana Constitution. And Indiana said, if the situation involved arises anyplace else in the state, then a general law can be made applicable. And surely development encroaching on federally protected areas, be they national conservation areas, national parks, national forests, is an issue that arises in other places in the state. And a general law could be made applicable that would deal with any of those situations. So the SB 358 in this case violated Article 4, Section 25, clearly under the Town of Pahrump case. It violated Article 4, Section 20 because it was a special or local law that regulated county business. It set down a directive to Clark County of what it could and could not do. And it also violated Section 21 because it was a special or local law when a general law could have been made applicable. And in the end, it really comes back to the issue of the supremacy of the Constitution. The Constitution being supreme, the legislature can't simply swoop down and decide this particular property or this particular issue is important enough that we are going to avoid the constitutional proscriptions, because then the legislature would be supreme, not the Constitution.
Any further questions? Thank you very much. Mr. Stockton, your rebuttal. You have 3 minutes and 16 seconds.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just real quickly, in the Town of Pahrump case, my experience with building departments is they don't do zoning determinations. Building departments take the existing zoning and apply it and issue building permits and those kinds of things, approve plans. So in the Town of Pahrump case, we have a whole different situation, and where the legislature was actually controlling how the funds of the county should be spent. Now, whether this is a local law or a special law, Special Law and Clean Water Coalition, you talked about the fact that when a general law is a law is general and applies to all persons embraced in a class founded upon some natural intrinsic or constitutional distinction. In this case, the legislature found that the Red Rock Canyon National Conservation Area is in a class by itself, so it's a class of one. So the special law provision of the Constitution doesn't apply because it does apply to all the class that are embraced by the Red Rock Canyon National Conservation Area. And as far as making a general law, I've already said that, but when you talk about natural resources, the protections that the legislature needs to make need to be tailored to whatever the values are that they're trying to protect.
And wouldn't it be the same in any other federally protected area? Wouldn't you have the same concerns?
You know, not necessarily.
To protect the natural resource that is unique and special, and by virtue of the fact you might have a federally protected area, why wouldn't you have the same concern with all those areas? And it goes back to the question, why couldn't a general law be made applicable to all those areas?
Because it goes back to the values the legislature are trying to protect, which in this case, as I said at the outset, is this is an area where you can go and be within 5 miles of the city and think you're in the middle of nowhere. That's the value that they were trying to protect when they passed this law. Whereas where you've got like Lake Tahoe Basin, there's going to be development there, and they're going to continue to develop and build houses. But because of the nature of the landscape, there's, you know, a lot of places where if you're driving around Lake Tahoe, there's houses within 100 feet of the road, but you can't tell they're there. So the protections that need to be in place for Lake Tahoe are different than the protections that need to be on the Red Rock, which are going to be different than, you know, if the town of Baker starts expanding outside of the Great Basin National Park. And so all those laws need to be tailored to the values that the legislature is trying to protect.
But nonetheless, their laws are the same thing, to control an inappropriate expansion within those respected protected areas.
True, but what's inappropriate depends on the values you're trying to protect, which is why our position is that the legislature needs to do this on a case-by-case basis rather than just painting everything with a broad brush. So I'm out of time. Do you have any questions?
Any further questions?
No.
Thank you. Quick thanks, Mr. Stockton and Mr. Berg, for their arguments and briefs in this matter. Again, Justice Douglas is at a conference on access to justice for non-English speaking persons and court interpreters. He will listen to the arguments and will conference with us with the inbound court. Again, thank you, lawyers, for your presentations. And this matter will stand submitted, and we're in recess to call the court.
All rise. Court is adjourned until the next scheduled argument.